enough to provide some shade, but it's not much. But it's as good as you're going to find out there. So
that they would record the type of tree, you know?
Yeah. Apparently, even the roots could be used for some sustenance. Hmm. That's just what a little bit I was reading because I was intrigued. But
is it broom in the sense that we think of broom, like did they use it for making brooms, or is that just a strange transliteration?
Yeah, I didn't see anything connecting with our broom and sweeping, but that could be.
Okay, there you go.
So fascinating.
That's off the record.
except it's on the record. Oh, yeah. I'm listening to every word.
Yes. Testing Dan's Middle Eastern knowledge.
That's right.
Exactly.
It only goes so far. That's for
it
sure.
It only goes so far, right?
And you are an immigrant from the Middle East. So.
Yeah, well, we all are.
Mediterranean, anyway.
Yeah. It's been a while.
You could say that. Well, hello, everyone. Thank you for joining us for our wonderful sweeping conversation here. It's so good to have you all here, whether you're an old listener or a new listener. Dan, thank you for giving us that call out on Sunday. That's great. I've had a lot of people say, hey, I'd love to listen to this, or I'd love to listen again, or something like that. So we're excited to have you back. If you have been away, we're excited to have you here for the first time. We're just excited. This is a good time. This is a good conversation, a good space. So appreciate that. This is also our 16th episode, which means we've been doing this for, you know, solid 3-4 months.
Now we can get our driver's license.
Our podcast license. That's what it is. Oh, man, that's kind of crazy. So it's just been really cool to have this space. And again, thank you, audience, for joining us for all this. And obviously to both Dan and Tim, this has been incredible. Just a brief update for you listeners before we get started. We have gotten some great feedback recently, and so we're going to start posting Spotify links to the previous sermons in the show notes. So if you just want to listen to the sermon itself, not necessarily the entire service, or scroll through YouTube, you'll be able to just go there, and those links will be in the show notes, and there will be another place you can follow and get those updated if you want. So some good things coming up, and it'll also be eventually on our new website once that gets finished. But now, I guess, down to business, because we're a very serious group, and we never mess around. Dan, you gave us a great sermon on Sunday morning. The sermon was called Angel Food Cake. Would you mind just giving us a brief recap?
Absolutely. We are in this little series outdoors together thinking about food and God's provision of food and some of the stories where those things come up. And so we were in the Old Testament, 1 Kings 19, with Elijah, the prophet Elijah, and he's fleeing from the country because Jezebel is threatening his life, and the Lord comes to him and ministers to him there. He's really low, actually asking that the Lord would just take his life, and comes and ministers to him through an angel, feeds him there twice, actually, and strengthens him for the journey ahead. And we just talked about how that's physical, of course, but also spiritually getting ready for the continued mission he was getting called to. And it's neat to see how even a very basic meal is part of that provision. So,
And you used a really interesting analogy through that about binoculars. Could you just refresh that as well?
Yeah. So we had a little visual aid there with me on the stage, binoculars, and just saying how, you know, when we look through binoculars, we're getting a zoomed in picture on whatever it is we're looking at, which can be really helpful for some things, but also obstructs our peripheral vision. It kind of gives us a bit of a tunnel vision and makes it harder to see a larger picture. And just was comparing that in the moment for the prophet was what he was going through because of the threats to his life and just the downturn in Israel of worshiping the Lord, and just it kind of overwhelmed him. And that's all he was seeing, and he couldn't see beyond that to maybe how the Lord was still at work and even the remnant of people that were still serving him. And just comparing that to often for ourselves in our faith, too, we can get that kind of tunnel vision or binocular vision and, really just get hyper-focused on maybe some challenges, stress points, negative things that are going on, maybe in the world, maybe in our own faith walk or life, and miss, again, some of the larger picture of how God might be working. So
I love that. That was honestly one of my favorite analogies I've heard in a long time. My grandfather was a birder, and so he would often try and take us out and show us all these crazy cool birds, and we'd have to try and, you know, find them with our, and he's like, just over on that tree there, and, you know, I'm like looking at a totally different tree because, again, my field of vision was so limited.
Yeah.
So I just thought that was a really profound analogy, and I'd love to kind of dive into that analogy a bit. Because we all get this tunnel vision. We talked about that. You know, we all tend to hyper focus on something and only, you know, and that's a natural human thing. But that's really good for, or really easy for us to recognize when we're outside or when we see someone else who is having this tunnel vision. So I was just wondering, for both of you, how would you recognize if you're starting to have tunnel vision, and what steps would you take, either physical or spiritual, to try and take down those binoculars when they're glued to our face?
Mm-hmm. It's first good to acknowledge what you just said there, Austin, that it's often harder for us to see when we ourselves are in that. Because I think one piece is to have maybe people around you who can help you with that, because it's hard to see my own blind spots in life in general. And then, you know, if I'm getting hyper-focused on something, yeah, just like Elijah, it's really hard to see out of that. And so that's one piece, is just maybe having some others around us that we trust that can be honest with us if we're kind of getting down that path and being willing to listen to them. Some of the things we talked about in the message, you know, as God speaks to Elijah there, he does it in a very special way with the angel. And we kind of talked about how God has given us so much more. Sometimes we wish for like an angel visit. We're like, oh, that's really cool for Elijah. But God's given us now scripture, of course. We have the power of the Holy Spirit, the church, you know, worldwide. And for sure, I think it's good to be seeking the Lord in prayer and in the Word, just to be engaging, because the Lord speaks to us in those ways as well and can sometimes help us to see, boy, I've not been thinking about this correctly, perhaps, or I have been focused on this for a while and maybe I needed to be, but I need to maybe take a step back. Those would be some basic things that come to mind. Tim, do you have any further thoughts?
I thought it was really good, too. I just appreciated that sermon, and that analogy was something that Tammy and I went home and talked about for a while, and struck me that one thing was Elijah was alone in this, so he wasn't able to recognize where he was going off the rails. But if we have somebody with us, they can all that focusing through the binoculars on one problem results in us globalizing that problem. And so then all of a sudden somebody else can say, hey, man, you're awfully, you know, depressed about this, or you're awfully, you know, you're seeing this under every rock and it's not really true. And so that may be one sign to see in somebody else that, yeah, they're probably focused on a problem.
Yeah, that's really good kind of comparison. It's small in the field of vision, but it's large.
It
to us,
large.
It's the biggest thing.
It looms
it's,
so
it's,
big.
It's
right?
all of it.
So really just doing a lot of self-examination on, like, what are the things that are looming big for me, and do they really matter in the grand scheme of things?
Maybe learning, too, because really we all have this, and some might last longer and some shorter, but if we've been through it before and we've recognized, especially if it was harmful to us to be that zoomed in and, you know, hurt us in our faith, or to see, oh, what are the signs of that happening? You know, where did that come in? It's really interesting. You note about Elijah being alone because he wasn't at the start of the journey.
That's right. He left his servant.
Yeah, he goes all the way to Beersheba, and then he is the servant.
Bad
maybe the
choice.
Maybe the servant was saying, like, hey, I think you're supposed to go back to, nope, you're done. I'm going down to the wilderness, you know. But
well, how human is that for us, you know, when we hear someone telling us something we don't want to hear?
Oh, yeah. Yep.
Yeah.
And it makes sense in this situation, because just what Tim said, if this is to you like everything, you know, this is, how can you talk about anything else? This is all of it. When someone else says, you know, there's actually other things happening, we don't want to hear it usually.
You don't understand.
Right. Yeah. And maybe we don't, but it's someone trying to help us there. So, yeah, it can be difficult personally, because it's just a rut we get into, you know, once we're kind of on that path and seeing that and having that tunnel vision, it tends to build on itself.
Yeah.
So it's a good question. We need each other a lot in this. Of course, the Lord. But I think as he sent his angel there to Elijah, often he sends brothers and sisters in Christ to us now to say, hey, Dan, take a look at this. I've heard a lot of this from you. Do you see this? Do you remember that? You know, and
maybe that's one reason that the Lord sent an angel and not just the food this time. It's like he needed a companion. He needed to be drawn out of himself. And the Lord does that later in the passage when he asks him, too. He says, he engages him with a question.
Yeah.
Elijah, what are you doing here? Do a little self-reflection.
Twice. Yeah. Yeah, it's good.
Well, and so then another question kind of tied into that. You said it on Sunday, and then you also actually kind of said a little bit earlier, but sometimes it's good to hyper-focus on this. Sometimes it's good to really be focused in on an issue. How do we know if it's good or not? How do we know if we're, if like, yes, I should be, this is justified, I need to be focused on this. And how do we know if that's not just us catastrophizing?
Good word.
Yeah. Yeah, there's things that are important and urgent, right? And I'm thinking, you know, I've had a few broken bones in my life. One time I had a compound fracture of my wrist. That was something that needed to be focused on and taken care of pretty quickly, right? And sometimes we have stressors that come in our lives and crises that need that attention. We need to zoom in. If you talk to people who work in like the ER and you know, that's how they function because they need to. They need to zoom in and see those things. They can't be like, oh, what's Joe doing over here in this section? And they got to zoom in on that crisis that's right in front of them. So there are times in life and in faith. You know, I'm sure the listeners know, too. There's times in our faith walk where maybe we're dealing with a sin. And sometimes maybe that sin's come to light in a way that's very causes a lot of upheaval in our lives. And it needs to be dealt with. We need to face it down. We need to maybe repent, address something. That's a proper time to zoom in, I think, and to deal with that, and maybe even to, you know, just spend some time, you know, whether it's confessing or just being in that spot with that thing. So there are matters where that comes up, and I think we really do need to deal with it. The second half of your question was maybe when to know when that's not the case.
Yeah, so like, because I know a lot of the time, especially when something comes up that I have the natural urge to focus in on, to me, that is so justified to focus in on. Mm-hmm. That is absolutely what I need to be doing at this point. Until I, you know, go through it or take a step back and I'm like, oh, super did not. That was so unimportant. Mm-hmm. But I really, really thought it was. And so how do you recognize if it's worth focusing on like that?
So I think one thing that I learned from this text as well, and I believe it comes up elsewhere in Scripture, is it becomes a problem if we're specifically talking about faith matters when it starts taking me away from what the Lord's calling me to. When I'm, you know, the mission I'm on, the service I'm called to, Elijah clearly was losing that sense. As we said, he left the battlefield. But I even think of the disciples in the New Testament when they have a concern, right? Their vision gets limited. They ask about, this is James and John, asking about sitting at the right and left of Jesus. And, you know, to them, like you said, a very valid thought, and they appreciate their relationship to Jesus. You know, they ask it respectfully, but they've lost sight of the mission. And the more they focus on that, and sometimes the disciples are arguing about those things, they're now being taken aside from what they are to be doing. In the big picture, like, that's not what Jesus is here for. He's not to get you some seats in heaven. It's about this larger kingdom of God work. And so if it's taking us away longer term, you know, because again, there might be some immediate things we need to face, but taking us away longer term from the mission that God's called us to, the gifts he's given to us and how those can be given in a service, that to me is an indicator of I need to recalibrate and see some things differently, perhaps, because I believe that, again, for me, I was learning that this week. God doesn't just strengthen Elijah for nothing. He doesn't feed him for no reason. It's for the journey ahead, and not just physically to Mount Sinai, but to go back into Israel and do the work that God's called him to. So, yeah, Tim, I don't know if you have any more thoughts on that.
Just piggyback on that. I thought that was really helpful, too, that how it caused Elijah to disengage. He pulled away from what he was called to do. As the bearer of the word of God in the community of Israel, he left. And I thought, maybe broadening on that, one way we indicate we can know whether we're focusing on something that's unhelpful is just by the fruit that it produces along those lines. Does it bring good fruit? Does it bring me to repentance if it's a sin I need to focus on? Does it bring me to greater service or to greater trust? Or in the case that often happens to me when I catastrophize, I just get down and I start behaving as if the Lord is not God. And I'm thinking, well, this is not fruit that is from the Lord. This has come from something else. So it's probably not worth thinking about this.
Yeah. And is this focus just making me more anxious?
Right.
You know, is this just breeding, you know, that fruit of anxiety and stress and fear rather than hope and joy?
Yeah. Even the personal fruit. That's good. I thinking of the binoculars, you know, mm-hmm. when we zoom in on a bird, to use your example, you can learn more about that bird, zooming in on it, seeing it more clearly. Mm-hmm. Just like if we're zoomed in on maybe a particular issue we're dealing with, we can learn about ourselves in that, mm-hmm. Maybe why this came about. But there are more birds out there, right? And, you know, and yeah. And so we need to be able to step back from that too. And sometimes the more we spend in our own heads, especially on a problem yeah. that it's, yeah. it really causes us more damage.
Right.
Yeah. And leads us further away from what Tim was just saying yeah. of how the Lord might be working in us and how we're called to see him at work too.
Yeah.
Right.
That's good.
Yeah. It's good. Thank you. I really appreciate that. To kind of change topics a little bit here, one of the parts of the passage we read really fascinated me, and we didn't really talk about it because you had other excellent points you needed to make, but I thought this is exactly what deeper is for. I'd love to go sure. a little deeper on this part. So I'm just going to read a few verses from 1 Kings here. It's verses 5 to 7. All at once, an angel touched him and said, "Get up and eat." He looked around, and there by his head was some bread baked over some hot coals and a jar of water. He ate and drank and then lay down again. And then the angel of the Lord came back a second time and touched him and said, "Get up and eat, for the journey is too much for you." And that was just fascinating. The angel came back twice.
Mm-hmm.
Not just the one time. He didn't just come and feed him once. He came and fed him twice because the first time was not enough to sustain him for this journey. And when reading this in light of the later part of the sermon, where you were saying, you know, we as the body of Christ sometimes take the role of that angel, I'm kind of convicted of all the times I've seen friends who are struggling but really will take a step back because other people are already there helping. Mm. You know, our tendency can be to excuse ourselves from getting involved in hard situations because someone else who does that better, who helps better, may have already started getting involved. So this is really reading to me as a very clear indication that we don't really have a right to excuse ourselves from helping people in need just because they've already been helped. Is that a valid interpretation or am I kind of missing the mark a little bit?
No, I think that's good to think about because it is outstanding that the angel feeds Elijah twice there, or, you know, commands him to eat twice and drink twice. You think, why not just once? You know, that could easily provide. It's coming from God's hand. It could be sustaining for the journey. It reminded me of the story where in the New Testament where Jesus touches the blind man twice, right? He, you know, touches him once, and then he touches him again, and then I think in between he sees people walking around. They look like trees, right? Or something. It's like halfway there through the healing. It's very interesting. And I think, yeah, you're hitting on some thought there too of we talk a lot about it, and there's, of course, some mystery, but yeah, sometimes we need a second feeding, or we need a second touch. Mm-hmm. And that's certainly true. I've seen it in my life where somebody says something that's spot on to me, right, that I need to hear, but I'm not quite all the way there yet, you know, and right. I need to hear it again, and sometimes again, you know, and that's true humanly, right? And sometimes whether it's helping someone out maybe who's just in a tough spot financially or, you know, maybe is having trouble, you know, providing for themselves in that way. It's not always just, oh, someone helped me this way and now everything's right. perfect, right? Or I figured it all out. So you're right. I think there's some good thought there of, you know, yeah, we can't just easily excuse ourselves saying, well, someone's already tried or someone already is.
Yeah,
we want to, of course, be respectful of how, you know, relationships and how right. things are going. But naturally, we can excuse ourselves of maybe calls to service or opportunities to minister to each other.
Right. Well, and, you know, I think back of, you know, there have been times where something, I had a friend who had a really rough situation. His, you know, he had a young brother who had a heart attack, basically, on the field while he was playing basketball. Mm. And, you know, obviously the doctors are there doing their thing. Everyone's trying to help out as much as they can. And one of the tendencies I had was I'm like, they have so many people trying to help them right now. And, you know, you want to be sensitive. You want to give people space when things are going on. But also there was, you know, the need to like, I just need to be there and be a friend for them. Cause I know they've got a lot of friends, but I know just even just hearing from me saying, "Hey, I see you. I hear something's going on. If you need anything, let me know. Let me know how I can help." Mm-hmm. And they talked to us later and they're like, that was so incredible because we're like, there was absolutely nothing you could have done.
Right. Mm-hmm.
But even just knowing that you were there and that even though you knew that you couldn't do anything, you offered. That was really meaningful to them. Mm-hmm. And so that's just one of those things that, you know, this made me think of almost exactly just like, man, I got to make sure I'm stepping up the mark there and not giving myself an excuse mm-hmm. to keep my hands clean.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's good. I think, too, that I just love how the Lord takes initiative with his servant. Mm. You know, and a lot, he knows his servant's had, and he's gone through a lot. I mean, humanly speaking, the highest of highs on Mount Carmel and, you know, defeating the prophets and then running for 26 miles or whatever it is and then get death threats. I mean, it's just a lot. And the Lord sort of does triage with Elijah. And, you know, sometimes you need more than a Sabbath. Sometimes you need a vacation. Sometimes you need more than 1 week. You need two in a row. Sometimes you need a little bit more than that. And I think, you know, it's just to recognize, too, that we need to be sensitive to each other. Like, what do we need? This may require more than just a, you know, the typical help.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, and the fact that, you know, he's being fed and sleeps. Like, he's just like, I need to eat. I need to sleep. I need to do those base human things before I can be refreshed and ready for this journey.
Yeah.
Yeah. And just to recognize what I heard you even say in there, Austin, too, is sometimes we want to be like the ultimate provider of help, that as soon as I say something or step into a situation, that person's all better, right?
And, yeah.
And then we won't help unless we see that possibility.
Right.
We excuse ourselves.
That's a good point.
But sometimes we just need to be the next step for someone to take up. Because even Elijah, right, he gets this miraculous provision there. The angel, you know, is there. He's fed. He sleeps. He's God's allowing him to go to Mount Sinai and all that. He's still not really fully healed in his faith. He still goes there and complains twice to God when he asks the question about why you're here. And he's still just, you know, I'm really upset with you. This is not going the way, until finally God reorients and says, well, here's, I'm going to come to you and here's your next mission. And then he goes and obeys. But it takes some time.
It does.
And maybe he wandered even a little longer in the wilderness because he needed it.
Yeah.
Didn't take a straight line journey. So that's a good reminder. I'm glad you brought it up, Austin, even personally, because as a pastor, sometimes you want to have that Midas touch. You almost think you should. You know, I'm a pastor. I must. If I can show up, it better be worthwhile. But sometimes it's just that next little step. And we all need that sometimes.
Yeah.
It doesn't have to be miraculous in that way.
Well, and even the next little step thing, it's another great analogy. At least I think it's a great analogy. But it's like a staircase. You know, you're trying to get someone from the very bottom to the next flight of stairs. And we want to be that person. But if there's just one stair in this whole flight of stairs, you're not going to be able to climb it. You need a lot of little steps to get up to the top.
That's good.
Yeah, I think that's typically the case. There are times when we have, you know, we just get just pulled right out of the valley to the mountaintop, but usually it's much more of a slow process.
Yeah, very much. Well, was there anything else about this text that you didn't really go into on Sunday? Any interesting historical tidbits or trivia? You know, broom trees, potentially.
Yeah. I don't got much
what
there.
What kind of bread was it?
Yeah. Actually, the bread piece, probably similar to the things that the people would make with the manna. That's one of the connections there. They would have made little cakes with it, we're told. It was probably very similar to that. The food was pretty common. It sounds like the Bedouin people who kind of were nomads there in that area, they still eat that kind of thing. So it was not anything abnormal. It was a pretty meat and potatoes for us, we might say, kind of meal. But yeah, and like the broom tree, we were joking about that. But just about the only place you could find some shelter in that kind of region. And it wasn't... Yeah, it wasn't like a spreading oak or something like that. It was maybe enough.
Sticks.
It would give you a little respite from the desert heat, but
it
wasn't going to be great. But yeah, no, I don't know if there was too much else besides that. I mean, there are, you know, just that one piece you could easily get into there is the response to the gospel and how, there was all kinds of responses there. We don't know much about how Ahab's responding, but Jezebel's responding with hatred. Some of the people seem to be converted, you might say, back to the Lord, and others clearly not. So as we present the gospel in our lives or as pastors and preaching, that's part of the expectation. I think Jesus lays that out too, that it's not always going to be, you know, a response even to a perfectly beautiful message and spirit inspired, and some people are not going to respond as we'd hope for to that. There is opposition to the gospel, and that's some of why we proclaim as well, to face that and hopefully to see some of that overcome. But so, there's a lot of things there in the text, but nothing that I want to go maybe too more deeply into.
Valid. Fair enough. Well, thank you so much, Dan and Tim, for coming out again and doing this. Again, I always love the learning that happens. There's so many good things that I learn even more, and good opportunities for questions and for challenges. So thank you both for doing this. Mm-hmm. And again, thank you, listeners, old and new. So good to have you here. If you haven't already, please do follow or subscribe to the podcast on whatever service you're listening to it with. It'll just help a lot when for you when we post new episodes or updates. You'll get those automatic reminders. It'll help the algorithm, because we don't know how that works. But the one thing we know is likes and subscriptions do help with that. So thank you all for your time and energy and intentionality. And we will talk to you next week.